Last week we talked a bit about the importance of thinking clearly. Thinking clearly. We're reminded that in his second letter to the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul warned us that Satan, who he calls the God of this age, God of this world, would if he could blind our minds. Satan doesn't want us to think clearly. God our Father, wants us to think clearly. And the beautiful thing about it is he's given us sound biblical principles, sound principles in his word that we can use that will guide us in our thinking so that we are indeed thinking clearly. Last week we talked about thinking clearly about our problems. And that's a universal application, isn't it? Because everyone has problems. You know, sometimes when we have problems, we look at others and think, oh, I wish I had their life. They seem like, you know, no problems at all. But most of us probably here have lived long enough to know that that's never true. That everybody has their problems. And we talked about some biblical principles to help us, specifically from the book of Psalms, about dealing with our problems in a constructive and God-honoring way. Well, I want us to do the same today, and we want to make another universal application. And that is thinking clearly about our relationships. Thinking clearly about our relationships. Life is defined by relationships. It's impossible, isn't it, to think of our life without considering our many and varied relationships. Just think of all of the relationships that you have today. I hope that first and foremost, it's a relationship with God the Father through faith in Jesus Christ. That you know Jesus is your brother and your friend, your Lord and your Savior. That, of course, is the key relationship. But we have many other relationships. Today, we are children. Today, we relate to our parents. We relate to our own children. We relate to our siblings. We relate to our associates, to our co-workers, to our friends, to people that we just meet as we go through life. Life is defined by relationships. It's truly defined by our relationships. Relationships provide our greatest highs, right? Relationships provide our greatest highs. I'm reminded the Apostle Paul wrote that the greatest of these is love. The greatest thing about life is loving relationships. Again, first and foremost, a loving relationship, as Sandra talked about, with God our Father and Jesus Christ our Savior. But those other relationships in our lives that can be defined by love, that's some of the high points of our life, aren't they? Isn't it? So relationships provide our highest highs, but you know, relationships can also be the provider of our greatest lows. Because the same man who wrote that love is the greatest, he went on to say in Galatians 5, if you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. So relationships bring our greatest highs, but relationships also can provide our deepest lows in life. I think you probably would agree with me this morning that a happy and productive life is one that is filled with strong and happy relationships. A happy and productive life is one that is defined by happy and productive, solid, growing, healthy relationships. And that's why it is vitally important that we protect our relationships from Satan. It's vitally important that we protect our relationships from the devil because he would not want us to think clearly about it. But God has given us biblical principles to help us to know how we can build, how we can maintain, how we can grow healthy, happy, and productive relationships. I want to talk a bit about that this morning. The Bible provides good advice on building and maintaining productive and fulfilling relationships. I'm going to suggest a few. There are many, many others we could look at. But let me just suggest a few this morning. I'm going to begin with this. To have a healthy and productive relationships, we need to learn to thank God for the differences. To thank God for the differences. You know, both the pleasure and the pain of relationships rests in the fact that we are unique individuals, which means that every one of us here, as much as we have in common, And we all have lots in common in this building. We're all very different individuals, aren't we? That provides the best part of relationships, but it certainly can provide the most challenging part of relationships as well. Most problems in relationships, as you well know, stem from clashes over our differences. It's challenging to navigate the rough waters of differences in personality, the differences in perspectives, and the differences in values. So to do so successfully, we must first recognize and admit to ourselves that each individual that we meet is created uniquely by a loving creator. Healthy relationships begin with this understanding. Each person that we meet along the way in our lives, each person that we relate to on any level, is certainly created uniquely by God. And God has created that person different from me for a reason. For a reason that serves His purpose. For a reason that serves His glory. For a reason that serves His kingdom. Think of how that would change our relationships if we could always keep that in mind. Someone is different from me because God created them different from me. God created us, each of us, uniquely for His glory and His purposes. And when we, by faith, can see one another that way, we can celebrate the differences. We can celebrate the fact that we're different. The Apostle Paul in Romans tells us to accept one another. And the reason he's writing that to the church, the very earliest church, is he knows how difficult it can be to accept people who are different from me. And he's telling us and teaching us that as we consider one another as unique creations, we can begin to celebrate the differences. We can begin to see each other in that way. And we can learn to grow and deepen in those relationships when we thank God for the differences. I think that's a very important principle in building a healthy and maintaining a healthy relationship. The second thing I want to suggest is this. Go to God with your disappointments. Because we attach so much significance to our relationships, so much significance to the success of our relationships, that when our relationships stumble, when our relationships don't seem to meet the needs and the plans and the ideas that we have, we can get deeply hurt and deeply disappointed. It's because relationships are important to us. And we want our relationships to be happy and healthy and productive. And when our relationships fall short of that, it causes great stress in our life. And it's at those times that we can bring our disappointments to God and understand that He will help us to navigate through the difficulties in our relationships. And let me give you just one example of that. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 2, the Apostle Paul gives us some good sound advice on relationships. I'm going to read it from the Living Bible this morning. He simply says this, and again, you know, the best advice is simple advice, isn't it? How many times have you gone to somebody with a question, I need advice, and when they give you an answer, you realize, you know, that really is simple. It really is straightforward. That's the best kind of advice. So this is what Paul says about building healthy relationships. Now, he's thinking of healthy relationships in the church, but we can apply it to any kind of relationship. Husband and wife, children and parents, siblings, friends, associate, co-workers, whatever it may be. And he simply says this, be patient with each other. Be patient with each other. You know, we expect others to treat us that way, don't we? We always want people to be patient with us. Be patient with me. Don't judge me too harshly. Don't cut me off too soon. Understand that I can learn and grow and change. Be patient with me. But you know, if we're going to ask for that, we have to give it too, don't we? We have to be willing to treat other people that way. Be patient with others, he says. And then he goes on to say this. Making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Let me read that again. Making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Making allowance for each other. Notice he doesn't say making excuses for each other. So Paul is not saying that what a good Christian does is they pretend everything is good when it's not. That we kind of let people off the hook all the time because that's what good Christians do. I don't believe that. I don't believe the Bible teaches that. Certainly it is not how God treats us. So we don't make excuses for others when they are failing or not treating us or others right. But he says, make allowance for each other. What does that mean? I understand that to mean this. Make room for each other. Make room for each other to fail. Make room for each other to make mistakes. But also make room for each other to grow and to improve and to learn and to become better people. I think showing allowance or making room for others means showing mercy and grace and forgiveness. Believing that others can progress and grow just as we like to believe about ourselves. Our relationships are important. They're important to us. We often get disappointed with them. And we set ourselves up for disappointment in our relationship when we make some mistakes. For example, when we forget that no one is perfect. No one is perfect. Everyone, even our most cherished, can be selfish and thoughtless at times. Everyone, even the one that we love the most, can be selfish and can be thoughtless at times. How do we know that? We know that because we know we can be that way, right? Isn't that what grace is? Grace is saying, I'm a sinner, and I expect you to be patient with me, and I know you're a sinner, and I'll be patient with you. But when we begin to think that others are somehow above the weaknesses in our own life, we set ourselves up for disappointment. We must be careful that our expectations of others are not too idealistic. You know, I find this often happens with newlyweds and new parents, right? They have kind of that high expectation. When I say new parents, I mean parents of the first child. You know, we have those really high, unrealistic expectations. And when they don't meet those expectations, which are probably unfair, we get disappointed. As a matter of fact, sometimes we even get hurt and angry because they're not meeting our idealistic expectations of who we think they ought to be. When we think that way, we're setting ourselves up for disappointment in our relationships. And we're certainly setting ourselves up for disappointment in a relationship when we expect another person to meet the needs in our life that only God can meet. Only God is perfect. Only God will not let us down. Only God will always love us and put us first. Only God is omnipresent. Only God is able to be everywhere that we are. Only God is completely reliable. And we want to be careful that we don't take those things that we expect of God and have a right to expect of God and put them on people, because we'll be disappointed, right? Have you ever been disappointed in a relationship? You probably have. Simple relationships and complex and important relationships can be disappointing to us at times. But we can take our disappointments to God. And by His grace and His mercy, He helps us to move forward in those relationships and even possibly see them grow and improve. Go to God with your disappointments. Thirdly, trust God with your feelings. Trust God with your feelings. It is impossible to imagine even our most insignificant relationship aside from emotions. Feelings and relationships just go together, don't they? We can't think of a relationship, even the simplest relationship, without a feeling. I was talking this week on the telephone with an insurance agent. Someone I did not know, will never see. She doesn't live here in the city. I'll never meet her. But as we continue to talk, I begin to get feelings, some thoughts about this person. They made me feel in a certain way, not necessarily a good way, but I had an emotion, a feeling, right? And that's just a fleeting relationship. So we can't think about our relationships without thinking about our feelings. Feelings are the best aspects of relationships, no question. But feelings can be the worst aspects of our relationships as well. We are vulnerable when we enter into a relationship. We put ourselves at emotional risk when we enter into a relationship. And you probably know that we can be hurt most deeply by those we love the most. And when we are repeatedly hurt, in a relationship, we might shut down and those feelings might die. This is when we must remember that love and caring are both a feeling and an action. I think Jesus is absolutely our best example of how love and action go together. I've always loved this declaration by John in John chapter 13 and verse 1. John writes, "Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." Now that's just a simple sentence, but it is absolutely packed full of significance. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. It's a very beautiful, poetic way of saying Jesus knew suffering was coming. Jesus knew that his best friends were going to betray him. Jesus knew that people were going to turn on him. Jesus knew that he was about to face and about to experience a horrible physical, spiritual, emotional suffering as he went to the cross. Jesus knew that hour was coming. Jesus knew that he was not going to be treated lovingly, even by his closest friends. Yet what did he do? John says, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. In other words, he proved that love is not just a feeling, but that love is an action. And he moved all the way to the cross and all the way through the cross to the resurrection. Jesus proved that in love we choose to act. And sometimes when we act, that we need to act in love, even when we don't feel it, even when we don't receive it, when we don't receive it back. With this confidence, one, that God has called us to love regardless of how we're received, and secondly, the belief that as we love, we will begin to see that love return. You know, if we lose faith in that point, it makes us afraid of relationships. If we get to a place in our life where we think we'll love, but we'll never be loved back, we'll pull back from relationships. But when we can be convinced in the power of love to change hearts and change lives, then we will love even when we don't receive it. Isn't that what Jesus did? Jesus loved us, though evidently at that time he was not receiving it. But eventually he would, as his disciples began to commit their lives to him. As we commit our lives to him today. As we make him, Jesus, the center, as we sang this morning. Love is a power. And love is an action. It's not just a feeling, it's an action. So we must trust God with our feelings and love as Jesus loved. Fourthly, if we want to have healthy and happy relationships, if we want to produce those kinds of relationships that we desire, we need to ask God for his direction. You see, the reason we seek and desire meaningful relationships is because God has created us in his image. You know, in Genesis, don't you? Genesis chapters 1 and 2, we were made in the image of God. And one of the things that means is that we desire relationship because our Creator God dwells in the eternal relationship of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And that image is stamped on us. And we just can't help ourselves. We need relationships. We desire relationships. That's the way we're made. Yet, because we're marred with the selfishness and weakness of sin, we often struggle to maintain healthy and happy relationships. Consider Adam and Eve. Consider Cain and Abel. they struggled to have healthy and happy relationships, didn't they? Even in that very first generation, we struggle because of sin. Therefore, we need to look to our God, who dwells in perfect relationship, for advice and principles for building and maintaining healthy relationships. You see, the beautiful thing is this. God wants us to ask. We take time in the service to pray, specifically to pray. We take time on Wednesday night specifically to pray, or Wednesday afternoon in our prayer meeting. And I'm sure that you have a prayer time in your life, at least one, maybe many. Because we know that God wants us to ask. I love how James puts it in James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, reading from the New Living Translation. James says, if you need wisdom, if you want to know what God wants you to do, ask Him. Just ask Him. He wants you to ask. He desires for you to ask. And He delights in answering. He says, and He will gladly tell you, He will not resent your asking. I love that sentence. He will not resent your asking. God loves you. He wants you to ask. He won't hold it against you for asking. But that scripture doesn't stop there. It goes on to make another point about asking. And that is being prepared to receive and act on the answer. But when you ask Him, be sure that you really expect Him to answer. When I read that, I think about a conversation I often had with my children when they were younger. None of them are here, so I can tell you this. Particularly when they were maybe 12, 13, 14, along there. Can you get that age, that fun age of life? And they begin to ask you for things like, can you give me $20? Can I have the car tonight? Can I go to so-and-so's party? And as a wise parent, we sometimes have to say what?
No.
No. And I don't know how that when it goes in your house, if you've ever had to do it, but sometimes that's not well received. And many times I would say to my kids, don't ask me if you're not prepared to receive the answer. Right? They came with an answer that was going to be yes. And when it was no, I want to hear it. I think that's the point James is making with God. That when we come to God, sometimes we already think we know the answer. All we want Him to do is back us up. But James says, come in faith. Which means, come open to receive the answer. Be ready to receive the answer. And to act on that answer. It may not always be the one we want. But we believe in God's wisdom. We believe in His patience, His grace, His mercy, and His love. Ask God for direction. And then look to Jesus as your example. The primary hindrance to a healthy relationship, I'm going to add this, aside from mental and emotional issues, I'm not counting those into the discussion. I know that sometimes you've tried to have a relationship with someone who has significant issues. That's a different topic. But aside from that, the primary hindrance to a healthy relationship is selfishness. We want our own way. We want to be first. We refuse to humble ourselves to others. But it is simply true that it is selflessness and humility that is the key to a successful relationship. You know the Apostle Paul tells us that. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 2 through 4 in the New Living Translation, he says to the believers, make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. Those are some basic premise of what a healthy relationship looks like, but we struggle with it. How can we do it? Well, fortunately, Paul continues in verse 5, where he tells us, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Be filled with Jesus. Live close to Jesus. Have the mind of Jesus. And then we truly can humble ourselves. Then we can put others first. Then we can love purely. Then we can build healthy and healthy, happy relationships. God wants us to think clearly. He wants us to use our minds. He gives us sound advice to do that. He wants us to think clearly about our relationships, to build them strong, healthy, and happy. To do so, we need Jesus. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you today for the many relationships in our lives, some fleeting and simple, some long-term and deep. We thank you for them all. Lord, sometimes we've been hurt in our relationships, and sometimes we've had great joys. Sometimes others have failed us, and sometimes we've failed the other. But Lord, we thank you for our relationships. And Father, we want healthy, happy, productive relationships. And we know that you can help us to get to that place as we immerse ourselves in you. As we think as you do, as we walk in you, as we consider the sound advice you have for us in your word, help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.